At this time, Brother B.J. Clark, he's the director of the Memphis School of Preaching. Got a long bio here, but we just let you know he's a sound preacher from all across this nation, known as someone who can really teach the Bible. So we ask him now to come on. He has a topic tonight, or in the form of a question, are you in God's family? Come from Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. Brother B.J.
It is a delight to be with you tonight, and I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you so much for the prayers that have been offered on behalf of my wife by so many caring Christians across this country and across the world for that matter. And I'm thankful to report that the good news that she's been getting is that her cancer is right now not in her body to any known tumor site. We've not been able to locate any tumors. She'll have a scan tomorrow, and they'll give her more treatments tomorrow and then throughout 2023. But the good news is that because of your prayers, I believe, and God's providential care, she is doing better than she's done in months. And we're looking forward to hopefully a full recovery, and we're praying the cancer will not return. Now, Jesus asked a whole lot of questions during his earthly ministry. As a matter of fact, he asked over 300 questions. One thing that I'd like for you to consider is this. Two of the most unusual questions that Jesus ever asked were asked in Matthew chapter 12. The Bible tells us in verse 46 that he yet talked to the people, and behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside desiring to speak with him. And someone said to him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren are standing without desiring to speak with thee. And then here are those two unusual questions. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Now, if you can believe it, I actually read a commentary one time that suggested that because Jesus had been engaged in a busy day of teaching and was mentally weary, that he suffered a temporary memory lapse and really didn't know who his mother and brothers were and had to have someone point them out to him. That's ridiculous, dear friends. Jesus did not forget about who his mom and his brothers were. He knew exactly who his mother was. He knew who his half-brothers were. No, Jesus is asking this question on purpose, and it relates to the question we're asking in this broadcast tonight. Are you in the family of God? Are you absolutely sure that you're in the family of God? If someone were to come up to you tomorrow and say, are you in the family of God? And you said, yes. What if they then said, all right, prove it to me. Prove it to me, using the Bible, that you are really in the family of God and that you're not just claiming it to be so. May I remind you that according to the scriptures, there are some on the day of judgment who will claim to know Jesus and fully believe that he will know them. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name we've cast out devils, they will claim. In thy name we've done many wonderful works. And then that very group that called him Lord and did things for him, preached about him, Jesus will turn to that very same group and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So says Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22 and 23. Now, wait a minute. How could he not have known them? They thought they knew him. They called him Lord. But wait, what did Jesus say in Matthew 7, 21? He said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. All right, so we know right there that not everyone that calls Jesus Lord is going to automatically go to heaven because they call him that. And may I point out to you, dear friends, these aren't atheists that we're talking about here in this passage. because the people who call him Lord are not atheists, although on the day of judgment, every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, Philippians 2, 9 to 11. These aren't Jews who didn't believe in his messiahship, because if they didn't believe in his messiahship, they wouldn't be calling him Lord. So who are these religious people in Matthew chapter 7 who called him Lord and did some things for him? And why does Jesus not know them? Well, there's a connection between Matthew 7:21 and our text tonight in Matthew chapter 12. And I want to show you that connection. In Matthew 7:21, in the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." But did he ever tell us who will? And did he ever tell us how to know that we will enter the kingdom of heaven? And the answer, listen to it, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Have you ever been asked the question, who are the only ones going to heaven? Have you ever wondered about the answer to that question? When people ask me that question, I always point out to them that I am not the best person to answer the question. If I'm using my own human wisdom, I'm not the person to ask about that. But I ask them this: would it be okay with you if I showed you Jesus' answer to the question rather than my own, because he's the Lord and I'm not? And if they say, no, I don't want to see the answer of Jesus on this subject, what chance would I have had to convert them anyway? But if they say, well, yes, what did Jesus say about who the only ones going to heaven are? Here's what he said. He said, "It's not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, that shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Show me a man that's done the will of the Father in heaven, I'll show you a man who's going to heaven. But that implies that we can understand the will of the Lord, and there's plenty of scripture to prove that we can. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul said, "Whereby when you read, you may understand." And so reading the Word of God allows us to understand. In fact, two chapters later, in Ephesians 5:17, Paul would say, "Understanding what the will of the Lord is." So yes, we can understand the will of the Lord, and we need to understand it, because it's only the one who does the will of the Father in heaven that's going to heaven. Now, how does that relate to our text in Matthew 12? Well, let's go back and remember the two questions Jesus asked. Who is my mother and who are my brethren? Watch what he does next in Matthew 12 and verse number 49. "And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren." And then watch this. "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven." Sound familiar? What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? "Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And now here we are in Matthew 12:50. "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven." He said, that's the same person that is my brother, my sister, my mother. So there you have it. Jesus Christ says, if you want to make sure that you're in my family, you need to make sure you've done the will of the Father in heaven. Which brings us back to that religious group in Matthew 7. Had they not called him Lord, Lord? Yes. Had they not even prophesied or preached about him and done many wonderful works for him, and they claimed to do other things as well? Had they not really been claiming those things to be so? Yes, they had claimed them. But friends, let me ask you a question. Is partial obedience sufficient to save, or is doing part of his will sufficient to save while ignoring other parts of his will? There is a very famous story told from preachers of days gone by that we preachers tell from time to time, and you might hear it told in different ways, but the point remains the same, even though some of the minor details may be a little different. It's a story about a farmer that left a will to his boys and said, "Boys, after I die, I want you to build a fence at this spot on the property." And the boys looked at one another and looked at their father's will after his passing and said, "Father said, build a will, build a fence, that is. His will says, build a fence at this spot on the property. Brother, can you think of a better place to build that fence?" "I cannot, no. Father was a genius. That's the best place to put a fence on the whole piece of property, and that's exactly where we're going to put it. There's not a better place to put it. And so we're going to put the fence right there." Second, their father's will said, "I want you to build a barn at this spot on the property." And those boys looked at one another and said, "Isn't that brilliant? We need a barn. That's the perfect spot for the barn to go. I can't think of a better place to put that barn. Can you, brother?" "No." "Father nailed it. I mean, that's exactly where that barn should go. There's not a better place to put that barn." So they built the barn right where Father's will said to put it. Third, their father's will said, "I want you to dig a well at this spot on the property." But the boys looked at each other and said, "You know, I don't know if that's the best place for that well. Do you think it's the best place, brother?" "No, as smart as Daddy was, I think he missed this one. The well really it would be better placed over here. Don't you agree that it'd be better to place it over here instead of where Father's will said to place it?" "Yeah, I agree. It would be better over here." Now, those boys had three stipulations in their father's will that they interacted with. I would like to ask you, pop quiz, in how many of those three stipulations their father set forth in his will, to how many of those stipulations did those boys submit? And did you hear the word I just used? Submit. You see, the natural reaction when you first hear that question, how many of the three things did the boys submit to in their father's will? It's easy to say, well, two. But no, wait. Submission means I'll yield my will to your will. That's what submission is. Why did the boys build the fence where their father's will said to build it? Because that's where they thought it should go. They couldn't think of a better place for it to go. They thought it was the best place. So because their will and their father's will just so happened to coincide, they had no problem fulfilling their father's will because it was their will anyway. And in the second example, they built the barn right where their father's will said to build the barn, but they did it because they thought it was the best place to put that barn. Why didn't they dig the well where their father's will said to dig it? Because they didn't agree with it. Notice, the first time their will and their father's will clashed, what did they do? They threw the father's will away and did their own. And friends, I'm telling you, we have people in the religious world tonight who are doing parts of the will of the Father in heaven that they agree with. But the other parts that they don't agree with, they're saying, no, I don't really want to do that. So I'll do this part I agree with, but I'm not going to do that. Friends, that's not submission. That's not obedience. I wish I had written this statement. I don't know who did to give credit for it. But I'm going to say it twice because it bears repeating. Hear me, please. If I believe in the Bible only the things with which I agree, then it's not really the Bible I believe in, it's me. If I believe in the Bible only those things with which I agree, then it's not really the Bible I believe in, it's me. I'm believing in myself and what I want. And some people treat the Bible like it's going through a cafeteria line where they've got all these different items, and you look at the workers and say, hey, put some of that on my plate if you will, please, but don't, please, do not put the sauerkraut on my plate. Do not put that on my plate. Don't put that on my plate. Oh, yeah, I want some of that. Give me plenty of that. But no, no, I don't want that. Get it off. We treat the Bible, I say we, some men and women treat the Bible like it's their own cafeteria line that they get to go through and pick and choose the parts they'll put on their theological plate, and the rest of it they just don't want any part of. So, God, you can just keep that to yourself. Friends, please hear me. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, whosoever shall do the will, how much? All the will of my Father which is in heaven. We don't get to pick and choose. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, that's the same person, he says, that is my brother, my sister, my mother. So that's the key. And may I say to you, if the people of Matthew 7:22, who said, Lord, Lord, had done the will of the Father in heaven, they would have been going to heaven. The reason why the people in Matthew 7:22 and 23 were not depicted as going to heaven is because they hadn't done the totality of the will of the Father in heaven that he required of them, and thus they tried to pick and choose and create their own will. They were following, really, their own will, not the will of the Father's. Now, I want to close out these last few minutes, the last 10 minutes that we have, with three real-life examples. One of them will go to Knoxville, Tennessee. And I'll tell you about a 92-year-old man in Knoxville, Tennessee, many, many decades ago now, who was reading his Bible. His name was Pop Collins. Everyone called him Pop. His real name was Charles or Charlie Collins, but everyone called him Pop. He's 92. He lives alone. He's got a Bible, a large print Bible, and he's got some good glasses, pretty good eyesight for a 92-year-old man, and so he reads his Bible every day. One day, he came to John 3:5, which says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, notice, he cannot what? Enter into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Friends, did you notice that phrase has popped up again in our message tonight? We saw it in Matthew 7, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then we saw it in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven. And now in John 3:5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this Pop Collins who read that knew what plain language meant. Except means unless. Unless a man does this, he can't do this. Well, unless a man does what? Unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot what? He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Pop Collins read this and it stopped him in his tracks. He thought, whatever this is, I'd better make sure I've done it or I'm not going to heaven. And so he started trying to figure out what does it mean to be born of water and of the Spirit. And then he remembered. It was just a few days prior that he'd been reading in Acts 8 about this Ethiopian eunuch who heard Jesus preached, and Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, Acts 8:35, and preached unto him Jesus. Now, who gave Philip the message that he preached unto the eunuch? The Holy Spirit. So is the Holy Spirit involved in the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch? You better believe he is, yes. Through the preaching of the word The Holy Spirit is working through the word preached. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. So this man, the eunuch, hears Jesus preached. The message of the Holy Spirit is preached to him through this preacher. And the next thing you see him saying is, here is water. What's stopping me from being baptized right now? And he's told if he believes with all his heart, he may. He says, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They went down into the water. They came up out of the water, and he went on his way rejoicing. Pop Collins said, that must be what I need to do. The message of the Holy Spirit motivates me to want to be baptized in water. So he called up his denominational preacher he'd known for decades, and he said, hey, I want you to come to my house, pick me up, and take me to the church building so I can be baptized in water so I can enter the kingdom of God. And his preacher said, you want me to what? Yeah, I want you to pick me up so I can be baptized. Pop, where'd you get this idea? He said, well, I was reading my Bible today, and I saw John 3:5, which says, except a man is born of water into the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I've never done that. I want to enter the kingdom of God, so I need to do this. His preacher said, Pop, no, you don't. He said, you got down at the mourner's bench years ago and asked the Lord Jesus to come into your heart when you prayed at our revival, and he saved you then, and you don't need to be baptized in water. In fact, the water that's mentioned there in John 3:5, he said, is not even being baptized in water. It's a woman about to give birth to a baby, breaking her water, and then the baby is born. Now think about this, dear friends. Even 92-year-old Pop Collins was sharp enough to figure this out. He said, hey, it says except a man be born. This isn't talking about the birth of a baby. It's talking about the new birth of a man. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. And he said, when you say the water means a woman about to give birth to a baby, he said the other day, I was reading Acts 8, and it said that the eunuch said, here is water. Was he pointing to a woman about to give birth to a baby? Well, no. What was he pointing at? Well, he was pointing at actual water. And so he said, well, that's what I want to do. I want to be baptized in water. Friends, his preacher said, I won't do it. I won't do it. So Pop Collins started calling the Yellow Pages, trying to find someone to baptize him in water so he could obey the will of the Father in heaven and enter the kingdom family. You want to guess what every single place he called wanted to do with him over the phone instead of coming to pick him up and baptize him? They all wanted to lead him in the sinner's prayer. And he said, I used to think that was enough. I now know from my Bible it's not. And so he called Baptist Hospital. Now I want you to imagine you're working at Baptist Hospital and the phone rings in Knoxville. And you say, Baptist Hospital, how may I direct your call? And the voice on the other end of the line says, yeah, could you connect me with your baptizing department, please? And you say, sir, you do know you called a hospital, right? Well, yeah, but because you are called Baptist Hospital, I thought you might have someone there to perform baptisms upon request, and I'm requesting one. I've been reading in my Bible where Jesus said, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. I want to do that. I've called all over to try to find someone to help me do that, and no one's willing to help me. Will you help me? Friends, the lady he asked that question to that worked at Baptist Hospital was a member of the Young High Church of Christ in Knoxville, Tennessee, which is now known as the South Knoxville Church of Christ. And when she heard a man pleading to be baptized in water, she said, sir, where do you live? She called her local preacher, and they took Pop Collins, and they gently dipped him beneath a watery grave of baptism after they took his confession that he believed Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They gently dipped him beneath a watery grave of baptism. He came up out of that water rejoicing, for Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother. Now, quickly, in the last 2 minutes, here's a man in Etowah, Tennessee, that told me he believed every word of the Bible, but baptism had nothing to do with saving us. And when I read to him the will of the Father in heaven, 1 Peter 3:21, baptism does also now save us. He said, that's what it says, but I don't believe it. Now, friends, did he do the will of the Father in heaven? No. So can he say that he's a member of the family of God? No, because whosoever shall do the will of the Father in heaven, that's the same that is my brother, my sister, my mother. My dad studied with a lady in Indianapolis, Indiana. He showed her 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism does also now save us. She slammed the table in anger. And then when she calmed down, she said, I'm angry at myself that I didn't find this sooner. I've had a Bible all these years. I could have known if I'd read my Bible. Baptism does save us, 1 Peter 3:21. I'm angry at the preachers and teachers I've had who told me, no, it doesn't, because the Bible comes right out and says it does. And so she said, will you baptize me so I can do what God said? And my dad baptized her that very night. Friends, you might be listening to this message, and you might be thinking you're in the family of God, but upon further review, you say, oh, wait a minute. I haven't done that. I haven't done what the Bible says about water baptism. Friends, we stand ready to help you. That's what this program is all about. It's about getting folks who need to become members of the family of God and helping them to do that very thing. That is what this is all about. There are brethren that would stand by, be willing to help you. They would do anything they could to get you to the gospel waters of salvation, to obey the gospel as a penitent, confessing believer who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who's repented of sin, is willing to confess his name, and then be buried with your Lord in baptism to be born of water to enter the kingdom of God. I pray that if you've not done that, you will do it. And if you have done it and you're wayward and wandering, I pray you'll come back before it's everlastingly too late. Won't you please? I'm so glad to give you this invitation from God.